Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wholehearted Loving. I'm Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Georgiana.
Today, we are going to talk about... which one shall we talk about? Let's talk about when things are not a fit and we're trying our darndest to force that fit.
Super fun.
Very familiar.
Very familiar. Lots of experience with that.
Great. Okay. So before we get started, we'll do a body-based self-connection practice to connect with ourselves before we connect with each other in this podcast.
Mm-hmm. I like this one. I'm going to share with you. Oh, I see a bird out the window. There was a moment of like delight and excitement. We're going to do a looking practice. I don't even know if that makes sense, but we're going to look at things. So let's just find that connection with the body first. So I notice that my hands are touching each other. I also notice that my shins are leaning against my feet. I'm sitting cross-legged. I feel my butt on the seat. So just paying attention to where you feel some body connection or your body connected to a surface that you're resting on. Oh, the bird circled around again. And when you're ready, we're going to actually allow the eyes to open to take in our space. If you have a window you can look out, I really enjoy using the window. If you're outside, you don't even have to look out a window. You're already outside. If you don't, no big deal. You can do it with what's inside. So let's look for something far away, almost like the furthest thing you could see in the distance. And as you look at that thing, can you be with it? Meaning, can you just allow yourself to have a full cycle of breath, a full inhale, a full exhale? And then we're going to choose something that's a lot closer to us. And that can be closer to us, but still outside. It could be closer to us and inside. You choose. So I'm actually going with inside. I want to play with outside and inside today. And I'm just looking at the plug to turn on the lamp. And again, finding that object, looking at it, feeling your body connection and being here for a full cycle of breath. And then I'm going back outside to look at the furthest thing I can see outside. I'm looking at a different direction, but still outside. And again, just pausing here and being with what I see. And then bringing the gaze to something closer again. I have a little doll, and on her dress, she has little egg tarts on her dress. I'm looking at the egg tarts.
That's adorable.
The egg tarts also have happy faces on them. So I'm looking at that, and I'm just being with this thing that I see, staying here for a full breath. And then we'll do this one more time because I like to do things in threes. We'll go back to the far away, right? What else do I see that's far away? Just being there with it. And then closing off with something that's nice and close. And having a little moment to notice what that felt like to do. And maybe you notice like what looking far felt like, what kind of feelings or sensations it stirred up for you, what looking close. Like when I looked far, I felt this like relaxing, expansive feeling. When I looked close, it was okay, but I was more connected to like the stuff that has to be done.
Ah, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. For me, it requires effort to be with the thing. So it didn't matter if it was far or close. It didn't change the flavor of it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the effort, when you say that, did you mean like when I saw the thing, I had to really use effort and intention to not want to pull away from it?
Yeah, or to like, okay, I know what the next instruction is. So just by rote, moving from thing to thing and actually pausing, like fully, not my fakey, I'm thinking about something else pause, the real feeling my body breathing. Pause.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have capacity for that and sometimes we don't. Sometimes you can look at a thing, but your brain is all over the place. And I always tell people, let your brain go all over the place. It doesn't matter, but can you still look at the thing? Mm-hmm. And can you be there for like a full inhale and a full exhale? Right? Because we're not trying, like I always say, we're not trying to get rid of things and get rid of things that have become a habit for us. We're just adding in a new habit, a new skill.
Mm-hmm. I think it took me a long time of just looking and letting my mind go before I clued in. Like I knew, intellectually I knew, but until my body clued in that, oh, if I release all of these things that are plaguing my mind right now and just be with my breath, it was a different degree of relief. It was like, before that, I had the relief of having the information that this is a helpful thing. And now I have the experience of it in a deeper way, which is really relieving.
Mm-hmm. Which is what's neat about doing these practices over a long period of time, is you notice different things along the way. Like I've done this often, and you would think maybe it's super easy for me because I've done it often, but I feel moments where I look at something and I'm giving the instruction and I'm trying to do it myself of being with it for a full inhale and exhale. And I notice times where I want to rush my breath so I can pull away and be with the next thing. Mm. Right. And I don't make that wrong. And I don't, you know, I just notice, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting that I feel rushed. And can I slow things down? And some days it's yes, I can. And other days it's like, no, let's turn the attention somewhere else.
Right.
But each time I'm growing my capacity, right? Either lean in a little bit to what's uncomfortable, or just to know right now I don't have it in me and that's okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, these practices are so helpful for getting us familiar with what feels good in our body. What's a fit? What's a force?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting, like when I hear you say the word force, we did a workshop, we facilitated a workshop yesterday where the word force came up a few times, you know, where we force ourselves to do something that we think is good for us or we think we should do. And just noticing how it feels to hear us even say that word force, like what happens in your body when you hear that? Like my body's like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And it stirs up old stuff of like feeling like I had to be an obedient child or feeling like I need to negate all my needs and feelings in order to do this thing.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's nice to shift away from living a life guided by force.
Totally. Mm-hmm. When I think about all the relationships that I forced effectively, you know, it didn't feel like I was forcing anything at the time. I just wanted this love to feel the way that I thought it should feel. I just wanted people to behave in ways I believed they ought to behave, because those were, of course, the correct ways, because they were my ways. Mm-hmm. And in hindsight, it just wasn't a fit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm chasing love instead of chasing alignment and what feels good, mm-hmm. the experience I have is one of trying to force things, and it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, like I've had many iterations of trying to force a relationship because there's some really great elements in that relationship, or on paper it looks like a great relationship. I've tried to force careers, like it pays well, job security is great, it's got, you know, it's prestigious, whatever. And it just never, like something felt off. But I was like, no, like all these good things about it, let's push through.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. It works for other people. Surely it can make it work for me. Mm-hmm. I tried to force, you know, like friendships where I could feel there's not a mutual respect and appreciation. And it was really lopsided and going one way, but I'm like, yeah, but we've had such good times together, or such a great history together, or there's nostalgia, when really the reality is it's not a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
But in that trying to force it, I know in all of those circumstances, I lost myself. I felt like my soul was dying. Like something just felt really off and wrong, even though I probably could have forced it for even longer. Like I'm very good at just forcing things and white knuckling my way through things. But I learned with several big things in my life that I'm like, I try to force it. It works for a little while. There's some glimmers of hope. And then I always cycle back to this like depressive feeling that something is off. And I thought, that's not my general nature. This surely is a sign for me to pay attention to. And that has been a big like informant for me in life, when I'm like, how I'm behaving right now, how I'm moving through life is not my true nature. When things are in alignment, when things feel right, like a good fit, I feel very different. I think differently about things. I feel differently. I move through the world differently. And this is a sign. And a real big challenge for me was, this was in romantic relationship, was to even entertain the idea that this relationship and like with this person was not a good fit. It repulsed me. I was so resistant to that idea. I'm like, no, we've had such a good history. There's so many great elements to us. This is such a great person. We have such amazing potential. I can't even entertain the idea that we're not a good fit. And anyone who would bring that to me, whether really subtly or really directly, I remember just feeling like really protective of our connection and pissed off and like, well, you don't know. You don't know behind the scenes what's great. And meanwhile, I was suffering. Meanwhile, like it wasn't actually a relationship that was meeting my needs. Meanwhile, I was always feeling like there's no clarity in this relationship. I feel like I'm always the one giving. I'm always the one leaning into compassion. And it wasn't until years down the road, this was a lesson that took me a long time to learn, and really sitting and looking back, that I was like, oh, in reality, we just weren't a good fit. He's not a horrible person. I'm not a horrible person. We're just not a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed myself when I was less resistant to that. I'm like, okay, maybe there's some truth in that. And I noticed that felt sort of like, okay, maybe I can accept this ending of this relationship when I'm open a little bit more to the idea that it wasn't a good fit. But then again, sometime later, when I said to myself, in reality, like we're just not a good fit. And my whole body was like, yes, that's right. We really weren't a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I can even smile at the end of that, because I'm like, oh yeah, that is what was happening. I was trying force this thing that, you know, made me miserable and probably him miserable too. When really I needed to learn and face and learn and accept that this is just not a good fit.
Yeah.
Right. And things can be not a good fit even when there's really great components to it. That was hard for me. I thought, if there's all these great components, we just need to like this much more to cross that finish line and be the most absolute best fit. Yeah. But like we're fighting over trying to force that last bit.
Yeah. Because it's just not a good fit. That's such an important thing. You said two things along the same lines here. Something that works for other people, it should work for me. Mm-hmm. And that it's not bad components necessarily. It can be good components. Nobody's bad in the relationship. It's just that it's not a good fit. And I think that's so important for people to realize that this isn't personal. You know, it's not that anybody's bad or wrong necessarily when things are not a good fit. It just isn't a good fit. And, you know, you'll see people who are so upset that, you know, the person they were with wanted marriage, wanted all these things, and then they broke up and now they're marrying somebody else. And like, what was wrong with me? And why couldn't I make this work? And it's like, well, cause it just wasn't a good fit. And it's such a simple thing. Someone who's wonderful with you might not be wonderful with me. That doesn't mean that they're not wonderful. It just means it's not a good fit, you know?
Totally. Yeah. And I think another piece to remember in that is there can also be things that are just absolutely not okay happening in the relationship, right?
Yeah.
And that can be true and it's not a good fit. And sometimes we're like, well, I want to let that person know that it's not okay to treat me that way and all this stuff. And fantastic, you want to work on your boundaries, but like, are we working on our boundaries in a relationship that's actually not a good fit?
Yeah.
And like, would you be better off using those skills, those healthy relational skills with someone who is a better fit for you?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge piece. We spend so much time trying to figure out if it's, you know, our issue or their issue or some collaborative issue that we can actually tackle together. And it takes time to figure that out, right? And to mm-hmm. determine whether or not it's a good fit. I wonder if you could speak a bit more to that. I wrote some notes as you were talking. So it's along the lines of separating intuition and inner knowing from fear and from work that mm-hmm. needs to be done. And for me, I found this incredibly challenging to sort through for myself. And mm-hmm. The way of thinking about it that I found helpful was, say you're imagining leaving this relationship that feels not quite right. Mm-hmm. When you picture it, does the relationship make you feel spacious and open, or does it make mm-hmm. you feel closed and protective, or those, that kind of language mm-hmm. I found really helpful. When I reframed things to, does this feel spacious? It was like night and day for me. I could understand what felt more like intuition yeah. that you followed.
That helped me too. So I'll share a few measures for me. I'm just jotting this down. So one, like asking myself, when I think about this relationship, when I think about staying in it, in its current state, not in what I think the potential of it is, right? In its current state, if nothing were to change, does it feel spacious or constricting? And I notice, right? Also, one that I like to use now is, does it feel easeful? I really value easeful right now. Mm-hmm. I've gone through life, I think, making life harder than it needed to be. I've gone through life working through a lot of challenges ever since I was a little kid. And I think it was sort of conditioned to like just make it through things. And I'm like, I don't actually want to live that way. I don't want to live where things like are guided by, can I make it through this? I would like some ease in my life. Does this relationship and connection feel easeful? And that doesn't mean everything's perfect. There's never conflict or tension, but like, can we move through conflict in a somewhat easeful way? Can we repair with some ease, even if it's uncomfortable, but it's like smooth-ish, you know? Mm-hmm. Often I had this on my fridge for a while. And it was a question that really helped guide me was, am I being led by my spirit or my wound? Ooh. Yeah. And what I took that mean for me, my spirit is very excitable. My spirit is very open-hearted, very abundant in giving, wanting joyful collaboration. That's my spirit. My wound at the time was, I just want you to like me. I want you to like me and I want you to choose me. And I could tell, like, moment to moment, if I'm choosing, like, do I call? Do I send this text? Do I initiate this again? Do I initiate that conversation? I started noticing, like, this is coming from that wounded place. A lot of my impulses were coming from a wounded place. Spirit would have said, you know what? If someone's not treating you well, go do your own thing, right? Choose to surround yourself with people who want ease and happiness and abundant emotional generosity in life, because there are those people out there. And that would have been more of an alignment for me. Not saying that that's feels in alignment for everybody, but I knew that enough about myself. But I kept choosing, to be with people who, like my friend called it, this person is emotionally stingy. Ooh. And like, you are really emotionally generous. You really need to be with someone who's emotionally generous. And this is not about shaming or labeling people, but this is just how someone shows up. And he probably would have said, yeah, I am emotionally stingy, right? But like, it just wasn't a good fit. And, but the wounded part of me that just wanted to be liked and loved and chosen was like, let me just be nicer and a little bit nicer and a little bit more accommodating, a little bit more compassionate, and maybe, right? Maybe you'll choose me. So those were some of my measures. In my life, I would say, there must have been 3 or 4 big life things that were not a good fit and not in alignment. And they were really good lessons for me. One was career. I was a tax consultant for like 5 years in Canada and in the Netherlands. When I look back to that, I think, my God, what was I thinking? But it made sense at the time. Anyways, I remember feeling like this is so not right for me. But everywhere I looked, people were doing it. The whole office was doing it. Like the whole organization was doing the thing. And I remember I was in the Netherlands, and I think we had 3 floors at that time, this company that I worked for. And this is also part of my spirit. Like I'm very curious, and I sort of have no fear about asking people questions. So I wandered along every floor, every office where someone was present, and I walked in and I chatted with them. I said, can you tell me, like, do you love this work? Like, why are you here? And they're like, no, I hate it. Or like some version for most people of, I don't really like it. It's not really my thing. I get my joy outside of here. And so I asked them, like, why do you stay? And they're like, well, because the pay is good, job security is good, career advancement is good. You know, I can like get out of here at 5 o'clock and have my family. Like, I just do other things in my life that make me feel good. And that was predominantly the answer that I heard from most people. There were some people who were like, yeah, this is my jam, but not the majority. And then I would use that information to be like, see, you should be able to do this. Look at everybody else doing this. This is just what people do. So that would motivate me a little bit to be like, let's just do this thing. Let's just find my joy outside of work. Everybody else can do it. Surely you can too. And that would fuel me for a little while, maybe a couple weeks, a week, week and a half. But then surely within 3 weeks, I would be back in that place of, this feels so wrong for me. I don't even want to get out of bed, which is what I knew was, this is not in my true nature, right? Like, I'm an excitable, energetic person. I want to be doing things. I want to get out and contribute. I didn't feel any of that. And that's when I realized, like, I can't live like this. Everybody else might be able to live like this, or many people might be able to live like this, but I cannot. Like, it will be the death of me, the emotional death of me, if I try to force this. And I had to come to acceptance. I remember crying and I was so upset. I'm like, but why can't I do it? Everybody else can do it. And that's when I had to accept that that's not who I am. It's not in alignment with me to do something that really doesn't light my soul on fire. Right. And there will be many people who are like, I can do that. And it doesn't cause me very much distress at all. I can just plod along and be fine. And I have my hobbies and my friends outside of work, and it's all good. I had to learn, like, that's not me.
Your framing of spirit versus wound when applied here is intense to think about. So there's people who are, you're describing just the mundane day to day, like, yeah, I need the money, so I do this work. But there's also people who get into careers because of their wounds. Mm-hmm. And everything they do is from that place. And then they've got an entire life that's financially entwined and professionally entwined with whatever wounds they're carrying. I think about that in relation to when I got into social work and how like painful that work was, like frontline social work with very vulnerable populations. And it was all because I wanted to be liked and I wanted people to know how loved they were because I wanted to know how loved I was. And that really depleted my spirit a huge amount for sure.
Mm-hmm. And like, I see you doing such great work out in the world, supporting people and helping people now that I can tell is from your spirit place and not a wounded place.
Yeah.
Right. And totally maybe it's different. In the type of work, and maybe it's just the timing of your life, right? Of what's a better fit. Mm-hmm. This reminds me of a lesson I learned some years ago. And it was speaking to this of some people outwardly, like from the outside, look very successful by what society deems as successful, you know, prestigious careers, lots of money, wealth, the ability to have freedom and travel and whatever thing it is that you enjoy having an abundance of. But if you look beneath the surface, some of those people got into those professions or careers or businesses because they believe that they're not enough. So they need to create something that's flashy and fancy and hopefully makes people believe that they are enough and makes themselves believe that they are enough. But when we carry that old wound, which I think many of us do, and then you build a life and, you know, businesses and careers or whatever, friendships, communities, all on that, someone highlighted, that's when you see the people where no amount of money and wealth is sufficient, because every extra million, every extra 10 million they earn is still trying to be the salve for that wound of I'm not good enough. Right. So one thing gets accomplished and then you look towards the next. And I had my own version of that. Like, I'm not some billionaire or anything close, but my version of that was like academic performance. Right. Like, I used that to prove my worth. I'm like, okay, you know, when I finish this, before I even finish this program, I'm already eyeing the next thing. And I'm hoping that each one of these certificates and letters behind my name might make me feel more worthy and better about myself. Yeah. And so you can pursue something from a wounded place, even if there's some spirit involved. Like, the things that I did were things I enjoyed, but it was primarily led by I'm trying to prove myself to someone. I remember.
Well, I think it's also developmentally important. Like, I think there's a time in life where we need to do a whole bunch of proving ourselves to other people, proving to ourselves that we can do the thing. You know, some degree of forcing is a manifestation of our will, which is an important thing to cultivate. But then, as you're saying, there comes a time where that just won't do us anymore.
Yeah. And I think knowing when you're in that vicious cycle of it's not actually adding anything beneficial to your life. And I think there's something about feeling accomplished and feeling a sense of pride versus I will only feel good about myself when I accomplish. And like, it's very subtle. Mm-hmm. But like, I think, yeah, something over the course of life, we learn that lesson if we choose to. I forget what I was going to say.
You were remembering something.
Remembering something. Yeah, I think just, you know, how much of my life was on based on like something to prove. Oh, I remember now. I chose for some reason that it would be a good idea to do a whole bachelor's degree in the Netherlands in Dutch in an area that really fascinated me, right? Working with families, working with people, teaching psychology, child and youth work, family studies, all the stuff that I was super excited about. However, it was in a totally different language, going to school in a totally different country with very different cultural, I don't know what you want to call it. Like, they just have a very different relationship with schooling than what I was used to in North America. And I remember at nights crying sometimes in front of the computer and being like, why did I think this was a good idea? Who thinks this is a good idea? Like, why would you do this to yourself? But then I'd still finish the paper and anyways, got through that program. And I was working at the time. I got to intern with like my dream job kind of place. And you have a supervisor who basically talks you through sort of your progress and, you know, different concerns that are coming up for you. And I think she asked me, well, when is it enough? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, when is it good enough? When are things good enough for you? I said, well, never. They can always be better. And that was definitely my dad's voice, you know, programmed in of everything can be better. But like, you took that to the extreme and just felt like never good enough because everything could be better. And then I think the look on her face was like, in a very respectful way, but like, man, I feel sorry for you. And I wish more freedom and ease for you. And it made me think, and, you know, upon further reflection and talking with her, I realized like, I've proved myself enough. Like, I don't need to do this anymore. And that was the big moment of like, who am I doing this for? Why? What other things? What 10 more things do I think I have to do before I'm good enough? And so that was a really profound moment of realizing there's nothing left to prove. And then it became more of like, let's just do things because they feel like they're in alignment.
That's liberating. And you could plunk that framework on top of relationships as well. What is there left to prove? We've done everything we can to try to force alignment in this relationship. And then we reach this end point where we're like, there's nothing left to prove. There's nothing more I can do. Now I can finally face that maybe this just isn't a good fit.
It's the same thing in my relationship where on paper, like I knew on paper, people would be like, what are you doing? Why would you leave this relationship? There'd be people, women lining up to sign up for this kind of relationship. What are you doing? Right? You have stability, you have security, you have all those kinds of things. But I'm like, my heart, my soul, like all these deeper levels of connection that are important to me, they're not being met. Yeah. And like this person could, like it wasn't my delusion they weren't being met. This person could say, I see they're not being met. That's just not who I am. And he was much better, I think, at facing reality. He's like, that's just not who I am. And eventually I did come to that conclusion of like, it's just not the right fit. We're good people. It's just not the right fit.
Yeah.
But I did go through like, but everybody else, how many other people? And I would do these weird things where I'm like, walking through the neighborhood, I'm like, how many of you are living this exact same life? And you're managing fine.
Yeah.
Or so we think. So right. We think. But I was like, I don't care if you're managing fine. I can't do it anymore.
Can't do it. Yeah. We should talk at some point about wound matches in relationship as well. How that manifests. I'm conscious of time. And I can't resist giving a 90-day fiancé example. I'm very sad to report that my friend Andrea and I, who watch these episodes of 90-day fiancé on video calls, those are our dates. She lives not where I live. We've reached the end. We've reached the end of 90-day fiancé, and we're now at a loss. But there's this one couple that we've been following over the course of many seasons. And God help us, they've gotten married now, although perhaps that will be undone, because the appalling news that was finally the breaking point, which, I mean, we've heard this sentence many, many times from this couple, but she found out that he had a bachelor party with strippers. Mm-hmm. And she was incredibly upset about that. Her wound is feeling like she's not good enough, mm-hmm. and that she's unattractive. And it's so frustrating and painful to watch, because she's just gorgeous. There's, you know, the guy obviously is completely in love with her, but her wound tells her she's not good enough. And they are so not a good fit. I can't even articulate that enough. And the way that they're forcing it is really interesting, because she's trying to force him to make her feel the ways she wants to feel, which are confident and loved. Meanwhile, she's not actually available to feel those things, because she doesn't believe them to be true. Mm-hmm. And he just wants her to be nice and not scream at him. But of course, she can't not scream at him, because she's feeling all these things that need to be screamed about, right? And so they're just waiting for the other one to be different than they are. Mm. And they're really forcing it in the meantime, and getting all like wild with like butt plugs and things. And it's just like, guys, this is not a fit, for heaven's sake. And everybody else at the end of these episodes or the seasons, they have tell-alls where they bring everybody right. together and ask them all the questions that we all want the answers to. And everybody's like, man, you guys really have your work cut out for you. And it's like, gosh, how I just desire for these people to enjoy their relationship, where they obviously love each other. And sadly, it's just not a fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a reality. Like, it makes me think of, like, I hope each and every one of you have something. And I'm sure there's, even if it's a small thing in your life or a moment in your life of when something feels like a good fit, just to use that as a bar, as a reminder of how things feel when it's a good fit, when there's alignment, when there's ease, when it just matches up just right. Mm. And allow that to at least have some influence and be some sort of checkpoint for other areas of your life, right? I think it really helped me to get into alignment. I'd be like with career, of like finding something that felt just right. And then that helped me inform myself for a romantic relationship. I'm like, oh, this is how just right feels.
Yeah.
So like just what I'm better. Feeling right now is not it.
Yeah, right?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, that it really helped me, because otherwise I had no concept of what just right is. And the good thing is, like, there's so many moments throughout every day that you can observe for what's the just right sweet spot, right? Yeah. Is it like the just right temperature of your tea or coffee? Like, that is something that gives you information.
Mm-hmm.
And learning to notice and look for the sweet spot in really simple everyday things. And then that's going to help you find that sweet spot and notice when you're in alignment with bigger life things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the question, this or better, you know, if this sort of easeful flowing dynamic is something I can have with a friend and co-facilitator, mm-hmm. then this is the baseline. Now, this or better. If it doesn't mm-hmm. feel as good as this or better than this, then I don't desire it in my life. And so mm-hmm. I won't give energy to things that don't feel as good as this or better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This reminds me of, it took me a lot of soul searching, a lot of crying, a lot of like mental anguish to come to the conclusion that I wasn't meant to stay in my marriage. And then after that, I got into a relationship that had its highs, and it was great in certain ways, and also the one that I realized was not a good fit in the end. But like, what do I want to say about this? I think I lost my train of thought. Let's see if I can get back to it. What were we talking about just before this?
This or better.
Yes. Okay. This or better. I thought to myself, I worked really hard to come to a conclusion about my marriage that I felt was in integrity and in alignment. I did not take that decision lightly. I knew it would impact a lot of people. And I used that when I was in this relationship that really didn't always feel very good, but I was hanging on to it so tight, trying to force it. And I told myself, I didn't do all that work to come to the conclusion of getting out of that marriage, to do all the practical setting up of life with two young kids and to support myself, to sign up for something worse, to sign up for something that gives me just as much or more anguish than I had before. Like, I did that so that life could feel more easeful and more in alignment because it felt out of alignment. Mm. Now, don't choose something again that feels out of alignment. And when I could see it from that perspective, like it, what you said about this or better just made me think of that. Mm. Like, I didn't leave that in order to be in something that makes me feel also miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations to us both.
Yes, more alignment in all areas of life. That's what I wish for everybody.
Me too. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. Do you have a closing practice in mind?
I have picked up something to touch in my hands. So maybe pick up something to touch and just notice how it feels in your hand. Notice if it's like in alignment of this feels nice to feel, or it's like this does not, it's out of alignment and I need to actually put this thing down. Right? Or notice what's a more in alignment way to touch this object. Right? I feel like when I hold, it's this little stone, when I hold it where my fingers get to feel the flat edges, that feels really nice. Mm-hmm. When I hold it where I'm feeling the jagged edges for right now, that doesn't feel like the right thing for me. Mm-hmm. Right? Sometimes I enjoy it, but just not right now. So even in something this simple of like pick up an object and hold it in a way that feels just right, you get to grow that muscle of noticing what is just right for right now, and what was just right yesterday would can be very different as what is just right for right now.
You know, they try to teach us this with the Goldilocks story when we're little.
The three bears. I say that all the time. Like, yeah. It's just right.
Yeah.
Yes. So use the three bears. Remember what is just right. What is the sweet spot? Nope. Just fell. And that's it.
That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Important lessons. Great. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say before we sign off?
I don't think so. Feels good to leave it here.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you guys for joining us. And as always, please do like, follow, and subscribe. And if anything we've said here today has been helpful for you, please share with somebody that you care about. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.